entity cannot enter into anything. You cannot say my soul entered my body. You cannot use the word to describe it even. It cannot have any relationship, in fact, with the body. But it is somehow associated with it. And Abdu'l-Bahá describes it as he says it's similar to the association of light in the mirror. The soul in the body is the same thing, he says. It's the same example he gives is like the light in the mirror. When you look at the mirror, you cannot put your hand in the mirror and pull the light out. You can't touch it. It's not in the mirror. The reflection, the light is not in the mirror, but it is somewhat associated with it, reflected on it. And if you break the mirror, nothing happens to the light. And Baha'u'llah tells us that it's the same thing with the soul. It's associated with us. It's a spiritual thing. It cannot have any relationship with our body other than just being associated. And even you cannot say associated because you cannot use word to describe it in any way. But whatever it is, we know that, let us say, the nearest we can say, it's associated with us. Now look at, we can find a lot of similarities here between the embryo growing in the womb of the mother and the soul. A lot of similarities. And from this, we can learn a great deal looking again at the writings and looking at nature together. Because as I said, these two things have to go together. Now, one of the similarities is this. That the cell is created at the time of conception, the first cell, if you look at it, there is nothing that you can see in the form of limbs or organs or anything. But that cell has the capacity to grow, to multiply, to acquire limbs and organs, so that after a period of, say, 9 months, for instance, you will have a perfect human being from that cell. It has all the capacities to acquire limbs and organs. But when you look at the cell, there's nothing. Nothing really unusual about it. It's just a cell. Now the soul is the same. When the soul comes to us first, at the time of conception, it has no qualities and perfections. It has no virtues. It has no knowledge. It has no wisdom. But it has the capacity. During a period of, say, 70, 80, 100 years that we live in this world, to acquire these qualities and perfections. It's just like the cell in the embryo, isn't it? You see now the similarities? You can see how these two things are really counterparts of each other. Another similarity is that when the cell is growing in the womb of the mother, it is not designed to live there, to stay there all its existence, all the period of its existence, but that it's only there for a very short period. This is not its home. The womb of the mother is not the home for the body of man. It's not its home. It's only a temporary place for it to acquire limbs and organs. That's all it is, pardon. Now, exactly the same thing applies to the soul. This world which we live in is really a womb world. It's a womb world for the soul. As if each one of us is pregnant with the soul. Each one of us have the soul in our custody, like shall we say, like preserving it. So that during this period of 100 years, 80 years that we live, or 60 years that we live, our soul may acquire qualities and perfections. But this is not its home. It's a stranger. Really, it's a stranger here. In the same way that the child in the womb of the mother is a stranger there. That's not its place. Now, We go further on and we can go and find out more similarities. Another similarity is that when they look at the cell growing in the womb of the mother first, it is really very insignificant. Very insignificant. I mean, the cell is not significant at all. And nobody even notices it. It is so unnoticeable. You have to have a microscope to examine it. So, and yet, look at what happens 9 months later. You have a person. It has developed into a person. It has all the faculties of a man. See the difference between the first day and the last day? The entry into the womb, or the creation in the womb, and the emerging from the womb. You see that? The difference between the two stages? And it's the same thing with our soul. The day that we are conceived and the soul is created, as I said, it has no identity. It has no personality. It has no individuality, really. But it will acquire this. Acquire qualities, perfections, individuality. And Baha'u'llah says that we will retain our individuality and personalities in the next life. So that you are yourself. It's not something that you lose. You are yourself. And he says that the holy souls will associate with all the souls, the holy souls, the prophets, and describe in the next life all their sufferings in the path of God, and all their joys and all their hardships that they have carried on in this life. So you see, it's not something that you will forget. It's something that you have an identity, individuality. And Baha'u'llah mentions, now this is a very beautiful thought, that the soul which comes into being will last, although it has a beginning, and that is when one is conceived, but it has no end. That it will grow and it will progress as long as God exists in the spiritual worlds of God. So we see what a beautiful thing it is to bring children into the world, so that you have a child coming into the world, a soul which is going to be there till eternity. And another feature, which again is part of the teachings of our faith, the soul is indestructible. You cannot destroy it once it is created. It belongs to the spiritual worlds of God. And at whatever stage you dissociate it from the body, whether it is at the time that the child even growing in the womb of the mother, if there is a miscarriage, you cannot destroy the soul. The soul is growing, will grow in the spiritual worlds of God. It has not had the chance to acquire qualities and perfections here. But we are told that God will compensate this. So it's not something which is lost. A child who dies at a young age is the same. He has no chance to develop qualities and perfections, but that it will grow through the bounties of God. And God will compensate for the things that he had not been able to acquire in this life. Now, there are other similarities. We go a little further, and we find that our soul, the body, first of all, when we look at the body, we find that, as I mentioned this before, the womb of the mother is not a place for it to live. And the soul also, this is not its place. This home is very much a strange place for it, this world. It's like being a bird which is kept in a cage. This is another example that Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Baha have given in their teachings. That they have given us an example of a bird being kept in a cage. The bird does not belong to the cage. The bird is there in the cage to be fed, to be nourished, so that when the cage breaks, it can take its flight into its own realms. And so again we come to the same conclusion, that this period of life that we go through, that our soul is in this womb world, really, and it is here to acquire qualities and perfections. To acquire love, to acquire knowledge, to acquire wisdom, to be loving. Another similarity is that when the child is in the womb of the mother, it acquires limbs and organs there, but those limbs and organs are not really needed in the womb world. You cannot use them there. It's not really of his of any benefit to him. He uses a little bit of it. For instance, he moves his muscles, he moves a little bit of a movement. You see, but he cannot really, it's not a place for using it. You see, the child, for instance, towards the end, has got perfect eyes, but it cannot see because there is no light. But when it is born, all these limbs and organs, which were useless to him, and he could never conceive what it is for, will find some use, and he'll begin to use them. The eyes now become perfect instruments for seeing. You see, the phenomena of seeing is a marvelous phenomena when you look at it. Can you imagine if nobody could ever see, if there was no such a thing as sight? We would be deprived of knowing something about the light. But the light comes, and the combination of the two makes us see, and there we know one of the attributes of God is the all-seeing God, and then we know something of the attributes of God. But you see, these limbs and organs are not useful in the womb world, but it will be useful when it is born here. It's the same thing with us, with the soul. All the qualities and perfections that the soul acquires in this life, in this life of 70 or 80 years, I refer to it. I don't know what is the duration of life in this country. I don't know how many years people live. I think people may live longer lives, huh? Than other countries. I know when I was a young person, people used to live to the age of 102, 103, you see, 110. But in here, probably people don't live that long. I'm going to tell you a little story came to my mind. It's not an authentic story. It's one of those pilgrim's notes, and don't ever take note of it. But it is one of those funny things that Shoghi Effendi had a great sense of humor, you know, and he used to tell us that he told one of the pilgrims about the American way of life. Now, it's no way to belittle anything, but he was telling this pilgrims, he said in a humorous vein, he says that the American male works very hard to please his wife. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. And he works very, very hard, and he provides all the facilities and means and comfort for his wife and family. And the poor man comes home tired and exhausted, and his wife is full of energy, and he wants to take her out to go to theaters, to do these places and enjoy themselves. And so the man, of course, will go and will oblige his wife. And then, as a result of all this hard work, he dies at a younger age. And the woman becomes a rich person, travels around the world. Well, these are some of the stories. Often Shoghi Effendi made a lot of humorous remarks. You know, Baha'u'llah had also a great sense of humor. You must not think that he did not have a sense of humor, a great sense of humor. Abdul Baha had a sense of humor. The believers used to have a sense of humor, and they used to, those who had the capacity to come to Baha'u'llah or to Abdul Baha and make some humorous remarks which would make them all laugh, you know. This was one of those characteristics. I tell you now that I said about the Americans, let me go tell you everything. Shoghi Effendi had said to another pilgrim something story. I've heard this now, I don't know whether it's true or not. He was trying to describe again the various nations and how each nation has its own characteristics, and he said that in America women dominate over men. I hope you don't mind me saying this. They rule over their husbands. In Germany, he said, it's the opposite. It's the men who are. He said in England it's quite a balance. He said it's not a bad thing if a German man, if an American woman married a German man, and they lived in England. So here we are. So, well, we were talking about the soul. I don't know what happened. We went out of it. But you know, one of those things that I wanted to mention about the soul is that we were saying that the limbs and organs which the child acquires in the womb of the mother are not needed there. But in this life, it's the same thing with the soul, really. These qualities and perfections that we acquire, love, unity, brotherhood, kindness, generosity, knowledge, although we can use it in here, in this life, somehow, to our advantage, they are really needed in the next life. They are for the next life that we acquire these qualities and perfections. And even if you don't use these qualities and perfections in this life, you still can live. In fact, this is what happens with most people today. People hate, people kill, and they still can live. They don't use those qualities in this life, and they still can live. But the real place, the real use of all these perfections and qualities that we have to acquire, the real use of them is not here, it's in the next life. All these perfections and qualities and virtues that we must acquire becomes like our spiritual limbs and organs in the next life. It'll become active, just like the eyes, which are not active in the womb of the mother, and suddenly, because the light comes up and it becomes a very marvelous instrument, our acquiring of the quality of love, for instance, in the next life will become just an instrument through which we can progress. And if we don't acquire them in here, then we cannot use them in the next life. Because there is another similarity, and that similarity is this: that the child must acquire limbs and organs in the womb of the mother. If it does not, it cannot acquire them in this life. If you do not have an eye, or if you do not have an arm, you can't acquire them in this life. You are handicapped. You will grow, but you are handicapped. And the same thing we understand is true in the spiritual sense, that the soul must acquire these qualities and perfections in this life. That is why God has brought the body and the soul together. That's why He has decreed that we should live a period of 60, 70, 100 years here to acquire these qualities and perfections, so that these qualities and perfections become instruments of growth for us in the next life. And that if we do not acquire them here, we cannot acquire them in the next life. That's all we understand. And remember, we are not trying to say in these talks and in these studies that we can understand the soul now. Let me, first of all, I should have said this in the beginning. Don't think that by hearing these talks on studying the writings, no matter how much deeply you study the soul, you will never understand what the soul is. This is only the impressions we get of the soul. These are impressions. This is as far as man in this life can understand the soul. We are limited in our understanding and vision. We cannot understand everything spiritual. We haven't got the tools for it in this life. It's in the next life that we will see the true reality of our souls. But it is hidden from us, because there is yet another similarity which I want to mention to you. And that similarity between the two things, between the embryo and the soul, is this: that if ever the child has not got the capacity to understand what a small place he's living in, what a limited place, a dark place he's living in during the period that he is growing in the womb of the mother, he has no capacity to understand that. He has no capacity to understand what a great world expects him to be born into. The vastness, the glory, the greatness of this world, he cannot see. Impossible for him to see, because God has not given him the capacity to understand this. The same God has not given our soul the capacity to understand anything.